Houston standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Started over 2 hours ago, Cutler. 713-780-3776. This junkie here in New York, Texans game started 10. Don't think I'm going to make it till the end. Yeah, that's rough. That's a rough one. Yeah, it's... this game's going to end past midnight our time.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the game script, depending on penalties, scoring. I think this game's going to end. Look, 7 o'clock, like 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock? Could very easily be 9:08 kick.
Yeah, it's probably not exactly a 9 o'clock.
Could be a 9:08. Could be a 9:07. So this game, I think, is going to end. Which, predict the time this game ends. 713-780-3776. If you win it, you'll get a high five as that chick tries to talk over me.
12:32.
I'll take the under there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a finish time. Final horn. Final horn. I'm going to go with a 12-12.
Okay, 12-12, 12-32.
12-12 finish. You got 12:32. Brian?
12:15.
12:15. 713-780-3776. Lance barely watches NFL games. It's clear by his commentary and lack of show prep. Least amount of ball knowledge at the station. Come on. We're not going to read bad things about Lance Zierlein here, especially that show. We would get fired. You don't talk bad about John and Lance. See what happened to the wheelhouse?
I do make fun of him every Saturday, but no one listens to that. Or, I know John and Lance don't listen to it.
It's true.
It's a fine line. You don't talk bad about Lance, and you don't be the one that Lance is talking bad about. That's how you don't work at the station anymore. For all those guards and any other professional sports athlete, for that matter, give me the better player who shows up for the playoffs, who cares about the regular season numbers. That's fair. T-Mac had some good playoffs, though.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's arguing for T-Mac, actually.
Yeah, I think he is arguing for
T-Mac.
Yeah,
I think that's what he's doing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like that. Conspiracy theory. How about Rockets are receiving these team-friendly contracts because Tillman is giving them unlimited free night stays at the Golden Nugget and free chips to use while playing the games to win the difference back. I'm down.
I mean, that's whatever, totally whatever it down. Takes.
I got an owner who really wants to win, and he's going to that extreme to do it. Awesome.
That also is
awesome.
That's way more above board than what the Clippers are being accused of. So,
absolutely.
Like the Clippers thing.
I don't think is it illegal to comp
players'
rooms to the Nugget?
No, it's not.
Probably not. Plus, they're high rollers. They're going to spend. Now, giving them casino chips would be, I think, highly illegal.
Not really. It's your money.
I don't think you can do that, Joe.
Why?
I don't think you can give players money. I think it's against the CBA. I mean, Ballmer indirectly gave
Kawhi
money.
Be doing it.
I mean, you'd have to have a pretty good story.
He's not there all the time.
I mean, how many casinos comp you chips?
Not many.
I mean, they comp you maybe a $5 bet. They're not going to comp you a couple million
in
chips.
That's
highly illegal,
Joe. I didn't say they were getting a couple million. Maybe they're only getting the $30 free play.
Come on. It ends in the middle of the second quarter because the Texans will be blown out by then. Oh, come on. We don't hate the Texans. Tonight's Texans game, says a junkie, will end at 12:08 a.m.
Okay.
Josh from Seabrook says, I got 12:21. Another junkie, I took the half-off day tomorrow, which is where you take the morning off and show up in the afternoon instead of leaving work early for a half-day like a normal person. What jobs allow half-days off, though? Do a lot do that?
I don't know.
You know what? I'm going to take advantage of that. I'm going to start using half-days.
No.
I'm going to start using...
No.
Why not?
Because you only have a three-hour day.
I'm going to start using half-days from 3 to 6. I'll work the mornings and you find somebody else to cover the afternoons. Which jobs allow this?
So you'll do all the show prep.
Yeah.
And then
I just won't go on the air.
You just won't go on the air.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume like a teacher.
I'll do a producer's job.
Yeah. I just assume teachers.
Teachers would be like the only one.
Yeah. I don't know what else you get a half day for.
Like what?
We also don't work normal jobs. So maybe a lot of jobs.
Like
this.
If you work construction, you can't do that.
No, I've seen people like, and I've had, I think like my mom can do half days the other way where she can.
What does she do?
She works for like a software company.
Well, that's good.
Like she can like occasionally take like a half day.
Yeah, you got to be a very specific job, I think.
Yeah.
To be able to take a half day.
Yeah. Maybe more jobs can do it. You can't be a nurse, obviously.
The Giants took almost a half day yesterday.
They took a three-quarters day.
Yeah, nurse. I mean, I guess if you have somebody cover your shift, teachers can take a half day.
Well, you do leave early sometimes.
I wonder if first responders have half days.
Probably not.
I wonder if you can get somebody to cover your shift. I bet you can. I don't know. I don't work. You're right. We don't work real jobs. 713-780-3776. HRP listener line. Keith has a game-ending prediction. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. My prediction for when the Texans-Seahawks end tonight is going to be a doozy, because Bucks-Lions is going to be a shootout. That's going to delay the start time. People are going to be locked into the ending of Game 7 as well for the baseball. The Texans-Seahawks will end at 12:49 Central Time.
Okay, thank you, Keith. Thank you for your service. Keith, why would
Keith, none of those things are factors.
You just made the list.
I wonder.
Game 7 is not a factor.
Game 7 is not a factor. Keith, that's a terrible take, Keith. I don't even know which channel Game 7's airing on, but it's not in the ESPN
Fox?
Family of networks. And if it's not in the ESPN family of networks, it is not at all influencing Texans Seahawks start time. Now, I wonder if they do slide the game back depending on what the ABC game is looking like. Because it's very common to slide start times. This is actually an industry term, is they have sliding tips, sliding kicks, where they'll slide a start time back. They have the choice of doing it of upwards to 10 minutes. But you just have to announce it like an hour before the scheduled kick. I wonder if they do have the option to slide based on the ABC game, because it is in the ABC, the ESPN family networks. There might be a slide in play.
I guess they could, but I mean, they just like last week did a doubleheader.
Yeah, they've
football.
Done like three weeks where they've had an hour difference.
Sure, but that's totally different than a doubleheader. Totally different than a doubleheader. Like that one's, we know that it's going to start while the other one's going on. Whenever you have them 3 hours apart, that is a doubleheader. It's a true doubleheader tonight, just on ABC, ESPN, which are same network. So there could be a slide in play. There could be a 10-minute slide on what it could be a 9:08 kick.
I guess, but the World Series doesn't factor in. I mean,
the World Series or the AOCS absolutely does not factor in. That has zero effect on Seahawks Texans kick. The first game could. I'd have to see a timing sheet. Branham works like 3 hours a day and still takes the half days. You know, I don't work. I work from sun up to sun down, junkie. I really do.
I'm a dog.
Blaine, if salary jobs, especially office jobs, if I need to do something in the morning, take 4 hours and show up after and finish the day, not shift work. That is more salary office job. I need to get one of these salary office jobs. Game will be on KHOU. Guess they bought it for the locals. I didn't know that. I didn't know that the Channel 11 bought the game.
Yeah, I think, but even if they did, that still doesn't affect us either, right?
That wouldn't affect us. No, that
wouldn't affect us. Because for the national audience, not for the local audience.
Yeah, like whenever you have double headers on the same network and a game is going over or it's a competitive game, the other game is going to have a slide to its start. That happens almost on every single doubleheader game. Now, what I wonder is if they consider the ABC, ESPN, the doubleheader, if there would be a slide in effect there. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't think they've done this before. Because if they did, they would just make the kickoff a little bit later to prevent the issues, right?
Well, no, because if it's a non-competitive game, they would just go ahead and kick it.
That's true.
So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what time the game begins. Fox FS1 on the other one on sliding the start time. Not reading that. All right, 713-780-3776. Frank Ross spoke to the media last – why are we listening to that guy? He tried to make a joke about the start time. So we haven't done this in a very long time. How long have you been on the show, Joe?
Like a month?
We haven't done this in a month. Grade the joke. 713-780-3776. Is Frank Ross funny? He had a press conference, special teams coach. He walked up to the podium knowing that the game is late tonight, and he asked us to see if this one lands. Frank Ross.
Let me know if this joke lands. If anybody in the city of Houston is looking for a little caffeine, come up to the special teams office. We'll sponsor you an energy drink or something so you stay up for this one. All right? No. Okay.
Cue up the awkward media laugh. Grade the joke. 713-780-3776.
It's a two?
I think you're being generous.
I think you're being generous. It's like a one at best. Like one, you're not going to be in Houston. You're in Seattle. Why would I go up to the special teams office when you're not even there? It's probably locked. Then like we're going to sponsor you a drink. Why not just give you a drink? Like he botched it. He botched the joke. It was poor.
Well, the
setup was poor. The message was poor, and the execution was terrible. And you know what's even worse than them all?
The
delivery. You're right. You're 100% right.
The immediate laughter is the worst part of all of that.
They're laughing at a one joke. What are they laughing at?
Giggles McGee's over there.
Oh, I got a curry favor with Frank Ross by laughing at his poor joke.
Yeah.
That's a terrible
honestly,
joke.
Though,
don't
like,
quit
if
your
he
day
hadn't
job,
set it
Frank
up,
Ross.
If he didn't do the setup of tell me this is funny, I wouldn't have known he was telling a joke.
No.
It was that bad of a joke.
Brutal joke, Frank Ross. Don't make jokes anymore.
Sponsor you a drink? What does that mean?
And I'm not funny. I'll say some things that make me look funny. I'm not a funny guy, so maybe I'm not the one to grade here. That was not funny, Frank. No one's confusing you with funny Frank Ross. That's not happening.
That should be his new nickname.
Unfunny Frank Ross. What are the media guys laughing at? Whose chuckle do you hear? Let's play it back, Brian. Whose chuckle do you hear more than any other? Like, does any laugh stand out to you where you associate that laugh with some media jabroni that covers the Houston Texans?
We'll sponsor you an energy drink or something so you stay up for this one, all right? No. Okay.
That's Cody Stutz's giggle.
It's Stutz or Locker.
No, Locker doesn't giggle like that.
No, Locker wouldn't giggle like that.
That is Cody Stutz's giggle. There's no doubt in my mind.
I feel like I hear some Aaron Wilson in there, too.
You couldn't hear Aaron Wilson because he doesn't speak up.
He might laugh, though.
I don't know, man.
But yeah, that's Stutz.
That's Stutz's giggle without a shadow of a doubt. What's he laughing at?
Hey, Cody thinks it's funny.
Special team humor.
Cody might say it's a 10.
Special team coach for special humor is what that was. My goodness.
I hope Cody's laughing at whatever how bad the question was that prompted this from Frank.
No, it wasn't a question. He walked to the podium. That was his opening statement.
Okay, then it's
He led with that. That was a prepared joke.
Didn't realize that. Then it's a 0.
That
out
was
10.
His startling statement to grab their attention.
Okay, who's he running this by?
Like, I don't think he ran it by anybody.
Is he showing this to Nick Cassero and be like, hey, man, I know we both went to John Carroll. Can you?
Oh, I saw Nick Cassero over the weekend.
Is that accurate?
Oh, really?
I saw him in the U of H press box.
Oh, okay.
I say, hey, look, Nick over there, what are those things?
Windows.
I didn't say that to him. I just walked by him awkwardly. I was like, oh, that's Nick Cassero.
Is that accurate?
Nick, do you know what those things that you can see through are called?
He's got a lot of Cougs games.
Yeah.
He was at the...
I mean, why not? I mean, you can see, you know, 6-1 football, bowl-eligible football, Power 4 football, top 30 college football, and you can do it with, you know, driving 15 miles.
Or you could go to, like, a, you know, SEC game.
He's got his people there. He's got his people there. There's draft... I mean, what's the difference? I mean, he's got people there. He's going to go lay eyes on those SEC guys, too. Like, he's traveling on Sunday. He can't go far on Saturday. Let me drive up. You know, I don't know where he lives, but let me drive up to, you know, the Third Ward and watch the Go Cougs, the 6-1 football team.
He's
that's
out
well
there.
Coached, top 30 in the country.
Yeah,
that's bowl eligible. Pop-Tarts Bowl was out there too.
Oh, really?
Pop-Tart Bowl representatives were out at TD ECU Stadium on Saturday.
Little teaser.
I don't know where we're going.
Oof. I would love that for the Cougs. That's the best like non-important bowl game.
It's the fan. It's fantastic marketing.
It's
fantastic
such a good bowl
marketing.
Game.
Road trip.
Where do they play this thing?
Isn't that Orlando?
I don't know where
Florida?
It's yep, it's Orlando. Not a road trip. We could fly.
Yeah, I'm not road tripping that.
Why? You're not driving.
I've done the drive to Florida before.
What's the furthest you'll drive?
I mean,
for a bowl game?
No. Just for like life.
I mean, we would do like 20-hour drives when I was younger.
That's insane.
I would say 12 hours.
12? I guess we did drive to Colorado.
You could do 12 and not leave the state of Texas, though. So
yeah, but like I would drive.
12's a lot, man. I'm like a 10, maybe.
I would drive to Orlando. I mean, now that way, like, flights and stuff are so expensive.
Yeah, but you're not, I mean, so is gas.
Not as expensive as flights these days.
I mean, it depends when you buy the flight.
I mean, I can't get my free bags anymore.
Well, I mean, travel light.
Yeah.
What are you packing?
If you're going to Orlando. All your
outfits?
If you're going to Orlando, you're probably going to Disney.
Okay, now you're just kind of moving goalposts.
No, I'm not.
You kind of
are. Why does going to see the Pop-Tart Bowl mean you have to go to Disney?
Yeah. If you're in Orlando, what else
if
are you doing there?
If you do go to Orlando, though, I have a perfect skirt steak place for you.
Okay.
Best chimichurri you ever have.
Good to know.
I go 45 miles out of my way to go get some skirt steak at this one place.
So, like, in a rental car, you'll go 45 miles out of your way?
No doubt. No, like every that. Time, every time, if I have an opportunity in Orlando, I'm going to that place to get a skirt steak with the best chimichurri you'll ever have.
I will say, I think I have to trust, your steak judgment.
That's skirt steak and chimichurri.
The one time we went to Vegas, that random little place we went to.
Hole in the wall.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Way off the strip. What was that place? It's called Cleavers. That place is called Cleavers. I go to Cleavers every time I'm in Vegas. I have spots all over the country, baby. I'm a world traveler. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Barry, you're in the junkyard. What's up, Barry?
Hey, I just want to call in, throw my 2 cents in here. I think the fellow's mistaken there about them sliding the game back. They don't do that in the NFL. They just they'll go to the other game and or they'll join that game in progress once the first game is finished. So I think he's wrong on that. And if I'm mistaken, then I'll tip my hat to him. But I'm every time I've ever watched a game that comes on second, it starts on time. Otherwise, they're going to cut into the evening television shows.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Barry. You know, now that I think about it, I don't think an NFL game has ever slid.
But I mean,
I don't know about the Monday Night Football the doubleheader. I don't know about the Monday Night Football doubleheader.
Yeah, because it happens like once a year.
But he's right on everything else. Like, every noon game kicks off at 12:02. Every 3 o'clock game kicks off at 3:05, except for America's Game of the Week, which kicks off at 3:25. Every Sunday Night Football game kicks off right at the precise time. I don't know about the ESPN Monday Night Football one, though. But that's a great point. Great point.
But the last point about or having the conflict of the programming coming up, that second game's on ESPN, though, so there's no conflict there.
Well, it's the 3 o'clock game's running
long. It's not like you have to be out for the evening news.
But he's talking about, they like 60 Minutes now.
They
60
do.
Minutes does numbers. Like, it's coming up next on 60
ESPN?
Minutes. Tick, 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 tick. He's not talking about ESPN.
No, but he was talking about tonight. Like, they can't start the game late.
No, he's
because
not talking about tonight. He's talking about the 3 o'clock games on Sunday. They start on time so they don't run late to carry into their evening
right,
programming.
Right, but how would that then be important for tonight? Because he would.
His point is that the NFL has a finite kickoff every single game, and he's using yesterday, Sunday's 3 o'clock kicks, sometimes 3:25, as an example as to why.
Yeah, I just don't see how that pertains to tonight.
I don't think he's doing that.
There's no programming to get to or to interrupt.
I don't think he's doing that.
Well, then what would be the point of the comment?
Because he's saying every NFL game kicks off at a specific time, and including Sunday games, because those games don't want to cut into evening TV viewing, is what he's saying. You don't know our callers. You're not in touch with our callers.
I just don't know how
like
that the conversations how it affects tonight.
Brian, you just don't get the callers. I get the callers. I understand. That's why I'm more likable.
You get points that don't
make
sense.
They get me. You don't get them. Like we're simpatico here. What's the opposite of simpatico? Y'all are clashing is what y'all do. Y'all clash heads like rams. All right, 713-780-3776. ESPN Houston on YouTube. We don't promote Twitch because they're. They're crazy over
there's
on the Twitch.
A fat guy in his underwear living in his mother's basement.
All right, I'm all in on Nick Haley. If 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. If you haven't heard about Higgins Boat Rum, you need to because it is excellent. I got mine ready to go for tonight. It is rum on a mission. Higgins Boat Rum is known as the Texas bourbon drinker's rum. It is bold, it is smooth, and it's even steeped in history, and it honors the greatest generation. It's perfect to sip neat on the rocks, a big rock. That's my go-to. Higgins Boat Rum is excellent for crafting your Texas-inspired cocktails. Try your Manhattan with it. How about your Pina Colada? A Mai Tai. It's fabulous for your cocktails as well. Higgins Boat Rum pays tribute to our military heritage. It's named, in fact, after the iconic landing craft that changed World War II. It's Higgins Boat Rum. It donates 10% of profits from every bottle, too, to Camp Hope, which supports our veterans. So you're honoring heroes with every pour. Higgins Boat Rum uses the Prosecco craft technology that we've all grown to love, makes it smoother, enhances the natural flavors, the aromas. It also removes all the harsh elements, which is perfect the next day. Follow Higgins Boat Rum on all their socials. You're going to get tasty cocktail ideas. You're going to get behind-the-scenes stories, and you're going to get live updates on your new favorite rum, Higgins Boat Rum. It's a premium, top-shelf rum at a great price. Get your bottle now at HigginsBoatRum.com. Ships to 48 states across the U.S. HigginsBoatRum.com. Not just a drink, but a tribute.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
People are sitting in the longest they've driven. You are flexing, and you are some dogs, too. That's crazy. Junkie of the text line, thank goodness Frank Ross doesn't script any of the offensive plays. That joke was brutal. So bad, man. I look at him differently now.
In what way? I mean, it's not like Joe Biagini bad, because that guy was like, they said he was a comedian, basically, when the Astros traded for him. And he was a moron, basically, from his opening press
conference.
I think
he was just a goofball, though. Goofball.
I think Frank is just trying to tell make a little joke.
Frank Ross is the guy in the office who tries to be hard, or tries to be too hard to be funny.
Yeah, that's all it is.
I don't like it. I don't want my special team coaches to walk into a press room and try to be funny. I want you to be a football hardo, which he is, but he's trying to get like a laugh. I don't know, man. I'm not a fan.
He's just trying to make everyone laugh a little bit.
But he didn't. He made Stutz giggle.
He tried.
He didn't. That was almost a belly laugh.
It kind of made me laugh because it was so bad.
Yeah, true.
He kind of accomplished.
It caught
his goal.
My attention. When was the last time I played Frank Ross sound?
Never.
Is it Jeff Ross who's like the he's the roaster? I think he's like a mm-hmm. master roaster. Yeah, he's no Jeff Ross. That's certainly not the same family.
No.
Certainly not. What's the skirt steak place in Orlando called? I forget the name of it. DM me and I'll find it for you. It's some Colombian place by Disney. 713-780-3776. I'm not gonna read these long hauls. Just said gooseball comic of the day. Yeah, I got ahead of my skis there. It's my bad.
You said gooseball?
Yeah, I said gooseball instead of goofball. Oh. I immediately corrected it though because I caught myself, but I did. I totally got ahead of my skis. You're right about that. So here was D'Amico Ryans last week talking about the offensive greatness that one Nick Caley possesses.
Yeah, our offense has evolved, and that's why I like Caley and what he's been able to do, just being able to go with what works. What do our guys do well and finding that out? It kind of takes time to figure that out as you go throughout the season. You weather the storm a bit, then you feel like you have a formula that's worked. Right. You feel like you have an idea of what guys do well so you can put them in those positions much better now to have successful plays. Is it do you want explosive play? Yeah, we want explosive plays, but at the end of the day, I want to score points. Like, and however we score points, however long it takes, like in a drive to score a point, that's all I care about is can we finish drive with points?
There you go. Loves himself some Nick Caley. So I'm all in on Nick Caley. If they look really good offensively today. Seattle has one of the top defenses in the NFL. Sixth in defensive points allowed going into the week. I don't know where they stand after yesterday's game. But this is a legit defense. You're doing it on the road. A long way away, too. Like, I know Seattle doesn't have a great home record this year for whatever reason. But going to Seattle is a lot different than going to, like, to Jacksonville. It's a lot different than going to, you know, at Dallas. Not that you play Dallas every year. I think it's even different than going to Indy. You know, a place that you're familiar with, not as long of a trip, all of that. It is interesting that when they went to LA, they went 2 days ahead. And when they go to Seattle, which has to be further, right? They went 1 day ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they didn't love the way that they looked going there 2 days earlier or whatever. But you're going to a tough place to play. You're doing it against a top defense. It's probably going to be a tight game. If the offense looks really good tonight, not that I'm predicting it, if they look really good offensively tonight, I think I'm putting all of my chips into the middle of the Nick Caley coffee table.
Man, I don't think I can get there after one game.
It's not one game, Joe. It's six quarters plus the Seattle game.
So, but it's still one game against one good team.
Okay.
It's the Ravens were an awful defense. Now, they look better the following week against the Rams. It's one quarter, really two quarters, I guess, against the Titans. So I'm more open to the idea. I'll take him off my hot seat if they look good tonight. I'm not going
to
be...
He's still in your hot seat. You're still ready to sack Caley?
I mean, he hasn't done anything yet of consequence. It was still so bad the first three games.
No, I agree with that.
So like the last two games with where Baltimore's at and who the Titans are, like you don't just get removed from that.
But look what LA did against that depleted Baltimore team the next week.
You're right. That's a good counter.
Like the momentum is trending in the right direction. Like it's minimal momentum, alliteration for the win. Two quarters against Seattle or against Tennessee. Like, hey, it's good that you did it, not taking it that seriously because Tennessee's terrible. You looked good offensively against Baltimore from start to finish. Depleted, yes. But if they look really good tonight, off the bye, you've had 2 weeks to game plan, on the road, top defense in the NFL, if they look really good tonight, it is going to change my view of Nick Caley. I'd be like, you know, that guy knows ball.
What do you want to see them do to get there?
350 yards and hang a 30-burger.
Okay, now see, that's
an impressive night.
Okay, so when you said you were all in if they perform well tonight, that's a higher number than what I imagined you were going to say.
Well, oh, yeah. What did you think?
If they drop that, then I'm much more open to this. Like being all
350 in. 350 and a 30 burger.
Yeah.
All in.
I'm in. Kaylee. I'm in.
What does it have to be for? Okay, so you said it. What does it have to be for you, Brian? How many yards, how many points do you need to see to be all in on Nick Kaylee tonight?
I'd be more on the points, but I would be, I think 27 for me would be enough.
27.
You get the yards plus the points. 30
is a lot.
If 30 is a lot, 30 is a lofty number. If they win the game, look good, and score 27, I'm in.
There you go. 350, 27. What's going to make you all in on Nick Kaylee? What do they have to do tonight for you to be all in on Nick Kaylee?
It's also a good benchmark coming off the bye. Like, you want to see what these coaches offensively specifically look like coming off the bye. You have the extra time to prepare for the Seahawks defense. So if it's a struggle, I'm all the way out.
Okay, that's fair.
Like, if it looks back to how it looked the first three games of the season, and it's nothing like what we saw in the last six quarters of Texans football, I'm all the way out. I'm off the train, and I will not get back on.
Oh, I think I'm right there with you. Like, if it looks really bad, it's like, well, you can't do it against a good team.
Yeah, because it means the last 2 weeks have been absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it means they were meaningless, which are always in play. It was always in play that those last six quarters of football were meaningless. If you lay a goose egg in Seattle, not a literal goose egg, but if you go 10 points, 250 yards, that's it. That ain't good.
And I don't know why. I've got this weird just feeling that it's going to be one or the other. I don't feel like we're going to see a middle ground. I think it's either going to go really, really well, and the Texans' offense is going to be cooking, and we're going to be looking at what happened in the NFL this last weekend and looking at this Texans schedule ahead of you of what it can be, or it's going to feel like how we felt after the Jags game, and it's this offense is screwed.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you, actually. Texture saying LOL 350 yards. If you were averaging 350 yards, you would be a top 12 offense in the NFL, and you're doing it against a good defense. Like, I don't know why you're scoffing at 350 yards. I think everybody would feel great if you hung 350 yards up on a Seattle defense. Like, we're not saying he needs to put up 500 yards here. It doesn't need to be some college offense. Mm-hmm. Doesn't need to be the air raid. I want them to look good. And I think that, you know, if you take stats away, I think we'll know it if we see it. I think we'll look at the offense and be like, oh, that makes me feel good. And then conversely, I think we'll look at the offense if it's a negative and be like, that looks like the first 3 weeks to me.
Because you're putting numbers on it, but like, I mean, if he had the game Stafford had, 182 passing yards but 5 touchdowns, I think we all would be very happy with that result this
weekend. We'll know it when we see it. Yeah. We'll know it when we see it. What does Kaylee have to do for you in order to get you all in on Kaylee? Also, you know who's not playing today? Christian Kirk is not playing today. I'm over the Christian Kirk experiment. I can't do anything about it now, but I'm going to whine and gripe, just like Seattle fans think I do. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
A junkie on the text line, 350 yards with touchbacks, having drive start at 35. Let's be serious one time. So we have a junkie scoffing at the idea that 350 yards is a good game. And then we have another junkie saying that 350 yards a game is not realistic in today's NFL. You can't make this stuff up. 350 yards per game would be 12th best in the NFL if you did it on a per-game basis. Top offense in the NFL, Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
391 yards
a game. Part of that's defense a little bit, right?
It helps because they're in game scripts.
Yeah.
They're in game scripts where it's like conducive to a lot of plays.
But the next team, the Colts, at 380 yards is not because of game scripts. They're just dominating people.
There's a lot of plays in Colts games, but yeah, not as much as Dallas for sure. They're at 380. Colts are at 380. The team's above 350. Dallas 391, Colts 380, Bills 378, Chargers 373, Chiefs 371, San Fran 367, Atlanta 364, Rams 360, Seahawks, who you see tonight, 356, Detroit 354, Tampa 354. So you would be 12th in the NFL if you average 350 yards. But get serious. Get serious with today's game scripts and touchbacks out to the 35.
I would love to. I
mean, also, if you have a good kicker, you don't touch back to the 35.
Yeah. If the Texans had the 12th best offense in the NFL per yards right now, wouldn't we all be very happy?
Yes. I would be over the moon.
Yeah,
I would be worried that Nick Cayley was going to head coaching job somewhere. Yeah.
I think preseason we said we would have settled for 20th.
Yeah, we would have probably. 713-780-3776.
There you go. On their way.
Good offensive night tonight. Nudges it over. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Marcus, what's up? You're in with Jeremy and Joe.
Yeah, guys, I don't know if you guys answered this question or not, but I've seen that the first game is showing on ABC. Do you guys know if it's going to switch over for the Texan game, or how is that going to work?
Yeah, it should be on ESPN. ESPN's carrying the second game. They're getting the Chris Fowler, Lewis Reddick, Orlovsky.
Oh, really? It's a Reddick game?
They're getting a Reddick Orlovsky.
Yeah, Troy Aikman's not working at 9 o'clock. Yeah.
No, I know. I just can't stand Lewis
Reddick. No, but it's first game's on ABC. The second game's on ESPN. They're getting the B team, Monday Night Football. But our junkies on the text line earlier, Marcus, were saying that KHOU locally is also carrying it. Because I guess that happens all the time. Like,
like the Netflix
game
was aired on a local network station. They have to do that legally.
So you get two options. You can watch it on ESPN, or you can get the KHOU purchasing the ESPN, which is going to look funny. I wonder which one will be ahead in terms of, like, because there's always a little bit of a delay. It's got to be ESPN, right?
I assume ESPN's going to be ahead.
You would think, because the KHOU's got to get the transmission
and
all
that.
It's
a direct feed.
I'm going to check it out.
Usually it's like a play.
Yeah, huh. Pessimistic Chad, 3 and out, first drive, book it. Well, we don't call you optimistic, Chad.
Well, you can still get to 350 yards if you go 3 and out in the first drive. So.
You can. You absolutely
doesn't
can.
Doesn't mean both of you can be right.
So I'm out on Christian Kirk.
Same, Jeremy.
Christian Kirk's going to miss this game with a hamstring injury. This is weird to me. Christian Kirk missed games at the start of the season, sustaining a hamstring injury after the third preseason game that he did not play in. And there's also a long gap between preseason game 3 and the first game of the season. It's almost like a bye week in between. So he played in the second preseason game, did not play in the third one with all the starters, and then missed multiple weeks with a hamstring injury that he sustained at some point between that amount of time. Christian Kirk's missing tonight's game after sustaining an injury at some point in time during a bye. What does Christian Kirk fear more than anything else? Off time. He fears PTO time more than anything else. How do you pull a hamstring twice off of off weeks, off of bye weeks, after not playing in a preseason game? Oh, they injured themselves at practice. You're right, but that doesn't happen as much as in games. We heard this from Jacksonville fan, too. You guys are going to realize how injury-prone and even soft. The word soft was being thrown around about Christian Kirk. And they're right! I hate to admit that stinking Florida people were right! But they were right. I got to admit, whenever they are right, and Florida people, of all people, were right. I'm over Christian Kirk. This is annoying. He's your second best receiver, and he gets hurt in idle time.
Coming off the bye week, it should be Jaden Higgins' time anyways. So even if he's healthy, like, this is the point where we should start seeing an increase of work from the rookie wide receivers. And now he's not out there. We knew when they got him that this was a chance that was going to happen, that he was going to be hurt. He never plays a full season. So I'm annoyed with it, too, and I know he's not owed that much money this year, but this is the moment for Nick Cayley, coming off the bye week, that Jaden Higgins, who you invested in the draft, should have a much bigger role in this offense. Honestly, regardless if he's hurt or not, it's time to see more Higgins. He's barely been used in the offense this year. So he should be a huge factor tonight and going forward.
Yeah.
It was always best-case scenario for the Texans, was that by the end of the season, Jaden Higgins surpasses Christian Kirk as the number two wide receiver on this team.
Yeah.
So between Hutchinson and Higgins tonight, let them cook.
I really wanted to gripe about the amount of money that Christian Kirk is making, but he actually only counts a little less than $5 million against the salary cap. So you actually have him on a very affordable contract. I was hoping that it was going to be higher, and I was going to look at the free agents that signed in the offseason and compare and contrast that way. But he's actually under contract for a pretty reasonable amount. Or at least the cap hit isn't costing you a whole lot. Less than $5 million. I know he's making more, but his cap hit as far as the Texans go is less than $5 million, according to Over the Cap and Spotrac, if you pronounce it that way. Devontae Adams got $22 a year in the offseason. Stephon Diggs got a little more than $21 a year in the offseason, which would have been nice to have Diggs over Kirk, especially a guy who, like, he doesn't know the system because it's a new system, but he knows the team. A 21 for Diggs, that's kind of high. Cup was 15. Kupp would have been pretty interesting in this offensive scheme, but it's still kind of high compared to Kirk's little less than five. Slayton got 12 a year. Dyami Brown got 10 a year. Josh Palmer almost got 10 a year. Brandon Cooks got 6.5, and Hopkins got 5. So those are the only players that signed in the offseason for more than what Kirk is costing you. Mm-hmm. I guess the Jags ate some of that contract for better pick capital or whatever. But no, I'm over Christian Kirk, though. This is going to be his last year as a Texan. Like, we're not going to see Christian Kirk again after this year.
I don't think anyone was expecting when they got him for him to be a Texan for more than a year.
No, I
especially
wasn't.
After the draft.
I thought you'd have a good year, though.
Yeah, but he's going to do nothing for you.
How foolish I am.
He hasn't really looked good even when he's been out there.
Not really.
He's had a couple moments. You're like, okay, there's some of that Christian Kirk in there, but he hasn't been that good really since that first year in Jacksonville. Now, this is worse than I think to be expected. You expect him to contribute in some capacity when he was out there and being healthy. You're not getting that. So I'm with you. I'm over the Christian Kirk experience already, and I want to see the young guys go out there regardless of what happens in the game tonight. If you're going to, you know, move forward and have a chance to make a run this season, you're going to be better off if Higgins and Hutchinson and Noel are the guys getting most of the targets outside Nico.
You think that elevates their ceiling?
It should.
Those Kirk, the three games that Kirk played, 3 catches for 25 yards against the Jags, 3 catches for 20 yards against the Titans, 4 catches, 64 yards against the Ravens. That's very mid.
Yeah.
Mid-em instead of gig-em.
I mean, it's mid might be nice.
Yeah, I'm over the Christian Kirk experiment. I mean, you're right. You're right. Maybe him being hurt is going to force the Texans and Kaylee to play the rookies, and the rookies give you more ceiling. That's the optimistic way of looking at it. But look, maybe I have just myself to blame. Maybe I need to look in the mirror and say, you know, it's you. You were being a homer on Christian Kirk, and you were wrong. Junkie, Christian Kirk is a soft boy stealing money, says Pessimistic Chad. Is he a soft boy? Are we willing to go there? Soft boy.
Softer. Christian Kirk or Lance McCullers?
Lance McCullers.
Christian Kirk.
Nah, man, it's McCullers.
I mean, it's been 3 years in a row now with Kirk.
Yeah, I mean, Lance has, like, surgeries.
Not reading that. 1143.
Kirk just has soft tissue issues.
Christian Kirk sees the Aggies are 7-0 and said, nah, I'm good. first game is on ABC, ESPN's the second game, and KHOU2. Yeah, I think we said that. Back-to-back seasons, Diggs and Kirk cost the Texans draft picks for duds. The Diggs one really screwed you because you used a second there. Mm-hmm. I mean, all you traded for Kirk was a seventh. Like,
that's not a big deal.
And he's not making tons of money because I guess the Jags ate some of this with the trade. Like, it says it only cost the Texans less than $5 million under the cap. So he didn't really hurt you in draft capital. He didn't really hurt you in financial capital. Where he's hurting you is in expectation capital, and mostly my expectations of him.
That's fair. I mean, and yeah, giving up a seventh-round pick for Christian Kirk is not a big deal. Fine with that.
A second for Diggs, though, I think is totally fair.
No, the Diggs conversation is totally different, especially because you reworked his contract. You still owe him quite a bit of money this year, or at least against your books.
The reworking of the contract kept him like from being on your team. So yeah. You traded a second, reworked the deal for a prove it deal, and then he left you when it was originally a 2-year contract. Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't have had a trade. Not that they're spending a lot on Kirk, and not that they're traded a lot.
But you could have just had Diggs.
But you could have just had Diggs if you didn't rework the deal.
Absolutely.
That was the Diggs thing was a miss. And honestly, even if you would have had Diggs for a second year, I still would have rather had the second round pick. Mm-hmm. I don't like that trade in hindsight at all. That might be my least favorite Nick Caserio trade that he's made. I can't think of another.
No, that even comes close
I hated the trade up to number 3 in real time, but I'm not that mad about it now.
No.
Like, alternate reality, you could have had Gibbs, LaPorte, and a future first, but I like Will Anderson a lot. And I wanted Will Anderson in that draft. I hated it in the time. Now, it looks a little bit better. A lot better. The second for a Diggs, I hated it in real time, and the test of time has not been well for that.
No, I think if Diggs was still on this team, maybe we view it differently. And even if he's just producing the way he is in New England this year, which is he's had some good games and some duds in there so far this season. But giving up a second round pick for a guy for a year, I don't think in any instance is worth it unless you really accomplish something that season. The Texans didn't do that. It's a bad trade.
Yeah, bad trade. Lance McCullers and Christian Kirk both dined at Joe's Crab Shack in 2025. Joe's Crab Shack taking strays today. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see them both taking strays. How is Kirk's coffee-making ability? I have no idea. No idea. Another junkie. We could have gotten Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta and a future first. Mm. Don't forget that. It would have been Gibbs, Laporta, and a future first if you drafted optimally. And did you expect Nick Caserio to draft optimally? Probably not.
Is that accurate?
He would have also been looking for a defensive end. I don't think he would have drafted either one, actually. I don't think he would have drafted a running back in the first round. I don't think he would have drafted a tight end in the early second.
I don't think so either.
I think he would have been totally two different. He would have drafted Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah.
And then Will Levis to back up Stroud is what he would have done. He would have went the Robert Griffin, Kirk Cousins route.
Just two rookie quarterbacks.
On steroids.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. What is your junkie of the day? Your junkie of the day, what is it? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Football season's in full swing. And Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action all season long. You're in Texas, I think. And Texas is the best place to make picks and win money on Underdog all season long. Playing on Underdog is so easy. Pick whether your favorite players, maybe it's C.J. Stroud, maybe it's Sam Darnold, maybe you're a Seattle fan and hate listening to the show. I don't know. Pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, and more. And also on Underdog, you can pick teams. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. Let's look at the running backs here. Nick Chubb, 36.5 rushing yards. Higher or lower? Feels low, right? But it's Nick Chubb. Kenneth Walker, are they going to give him the football? 52.5 rushing yards. Higher or lower there? You're a Woody Marks guy. You want to play him in the passing game. 15.5 receiving yards for Woody Marks. Higher or lower? And then how about Zach Charbonnet, who they love, even though he doesn't do much? They love him. 38.5 rushing yards. You like higher or lower there? Go prove that you know ball. An Underdog. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, KILLERB. Underdog. Make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Junkie of the day. What's your junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. What's coming up on the station tonight after us?
National today.
ESPN National. No power dribbles?
No.
That's too bad. A junkie of the day, 713-780-3776. Joe, who is your junkie of the day?
I'm gonna nominate this disaster that is the University of North Carolina football program.
Oh, come on. They played a competitive game against Cal.
Yeah, except with 3 minutes and 57 seconds left to go, they had a chance to win the game, and they fumbled the ball into the end zone.
Belichick's in his NFL days. He's tanking for next year.
Yeah. It's worried about that draft
pick. Tanking for a draft pick?
Yeah, yeah, Lombardi really wants a high draft pick to work with.
I mean, I feel bad for this kid because, like, he's not – it's Jordan not Hudson? His fault.
Oh.
But to have just the ball punched out as you're at the one-yard line and you're going to take a lead in which a season has already been a disaster for this program.
It doesn't matter.
It's unraveling bad for Billy B.
It's already unraveled, though, Joe.
Does it really matter if he scored there?
They would have won.
Does that matter?
For Bill Belichick's legacy, maybe?
Yeah, maybe it does. Maybe a little
like
bit.
He's not going to make a bowl game as a college football coach?
That wasn't going to happen anyways, though, whether the kid got it punched out or not.
They only need 3 more wins the rest of the year if they win that game.
Okay. They're winning 3 games in the powerful ACC. Well, I don't really believe that, but the ACC?
Yeah, in the ACC, yes. In the powerful ACC, no. But the ACC is not powerful.
Yeah, I don't think they get to 5 wins. I don't think it cost them a bowl game. And I think Belichick will be back, regardless if he was, you know, scored or not. I think it carried zero influence. Now maybe it's like an easier room to coach and all that stuff, but big picture, I don't think it mattered at all.
Are you also familiar with Kirk Minahan, the former Boston sports radio host?
Say his name again?
Kirk Minahan.
He's
with Barstool now.
The name sounds familiar.
He was on his podcast for Barstool the other day. He said he's been texting Michael Lombardi. I don't know why he admitted this on the air. He's been texting Michael Lombardi and impersonating Ian Rappaport for the last 4 weeks. And Michael Lombardi, the GM of North Carolina, is just like sending him information.
Oh my goodness. Kirk Minahan. He's he kind doesn't.
Of,
he doesn't.
Kind of, kind of a Looney Tune.
He doesn't look how I thought he looked.
Yeah, he's kind of a Looney Tune.
I've heard the name, but his face does not ring a bell at all. Usually it's the other way for me. My junkie today, Keith, thinking that the Mariners-Blue Jays
Good
game
call.
Would impact the start time of Texans-Seahawks. So he's my junkie of the day. If you listen to us, you're a junkie. Brian?
I'll nominate two, Christian Kirk's hammy, and then also the Raiders for running fewer plays than the Chiefs had first downs.
Oh, man, those are two good ones. Where do you want to go with here?
I think I want to go with Keith.
I actually wanted to go to Kirk.
Keith wants to nominate Brian.
Why does Keith want to nominate Brian?
Because Lamar didn't practice.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Beat a dead horse.
Yeah, let's go Keith.
All right.
Keith. Because I like giving it to a caller. Maybe we should do precedence goes to a caller. Congratulations, Keith. You're our junkie of the day. You win nothing, though. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Good night.
ESPN 97.5.